It's good for us to be here this morning and join together to worship God, and we are grateful for those who have come to visit with us, and we're glad that you have come to worship God together. In the book of Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, even as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Righteousness is a biblical subject that often is misunderstood, not because God didn't explain it to us or give us an understanding of it, but because many people have a worldly view of the term righteousness itself. Some people think that it is often, because it is misunderstood sometimes, some even people are trying to serve God and be faithful to Him will say something along the line, "Well, I'm not a righteous person." And others will say something like, if there's anything that I'm not, is I'm not a saint. Well, if we are a New Testament Christian, according to the Word of God, we have believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ, we are both a saint and we are righteous. Now, it isn't because of how good and righteous we are personally, but it's because of what Christ did on the cross for you and me that we become such. If we are Christians and we are saved by the blood of Christ, we are righteous. We are saints of God, which means we are sanctified and separated to the work of God. And of course, some, especially people in the world, have another wrong view of righteousness, which we'll talk about in a moment. But we have to start with the idea of righteous, meaning what God is. God is righteous in everything that He does. He is perfect, and He is infinitely righteous and just in all of the things that He is. He is to complete perfection. And we have to understand that. And He is the source of our righteousness, not ourselves. That could never be, because we all have sinned. But God is the one that allowed us to be able to receive righteousness because of our faith and obedience to Him. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, John says, "He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins." Now, some translations on the word righteous, they're translated just. But it's the same meaning. It's the same root word originally. It means that God is righteous and just and good in all of His ways. In Revelation 15 and verse 3, it says, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways." And so, like I said, some translations translate that word on that particular passage as just or justice. But it means the same thing as righteous and righteousness. So we look at that, and we look at the idea of righteousness as Romans 1:17 says, "For therein," in the gospel, "is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, from the foundation of faith to the full and complete faith, which we receive through Jesus Christ." But we'll look at the term righteous or just or righteousness here. It comes from a word meaning to correct, righteous, and just. In other words, everything is acceptable as it should be to God. Also, the term righteousness comes from a word meaning teaching of righteousness as an inclusive term and active duties of religious life and justice. So it's all of those things. And notice the idea that righteousness is an active idea. It's not a passive one. We don't sit around and wait and somehow we become righteous by not doing anything. We have to act upon our faith and to be faithful to the Lord if we're going to receive the righteousness which God wants us to have. And notice the two ideas there. There is a correctness about it, and there is an action that is involved in it. And all of our action in life, if we're going to be faithful to the Lord, He gives to us the privilege of being righteous. We don't do it because of how good we are, but because of how gracious and loving and merciful that God is to you and me, in spite of the fact that we sin and we fall short of the glory of God. And it's not simply a receiving of anything without any effort. God requires not only that we believe in Him, but that we're willing to do the things that He has commanded for us to do. We will look at this morning for a few moments also at what righteousness is not, as well as what it is. Well, first of all, we look at the negative side. Well, what is it that righteousness is not? And we get into the understanding that the world tries to put forth and many of these ideas. First of all, righteousness is not self-righteousness. And there's the thing that so many people in the world seem to think, that if we're trying to be righteous before God to the best of the limited ability that you and I have, that somehow we're trying to be self-righteous. And too often people have that idea that if you're righteous, that you look down upon others and you condemn others and you put yourself on a higher plane. And the idea of the old idea of holier than thou, and the idea that we're here and you're down there. But it's not at all the idea that God has for righteousness. It is not a haughty and arrogant attitude about others who are around us. To be righteous means, according to some, that we cannot enjoy the life which God has given us on this earth. Now, none of those ideas are correct. They're all wrong, and it's not the righteousness which God reveals to you and me. So again, we go back to the idea of self-righteousness. That is a type of hypocrisy and is condemned completely by Jesus himself. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, Jesus said on that occasion, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." But Jesus used the term righteous there as those who were trying to establish their own righteousness as their faith and their strength and their greatness. He says, no, that's not the way it is. He says, God wants mercy, not sacrifice. He says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. People have to recognize their sinful condition in order for God to look upon them as being righteous. And of course, we look at the example of that, the Pharisees, as Jesus had to deal with them so many times in the New Testament. The Pharisees thought themselves to be morally superior to anyone who was around them, morally and spiritually superior to all those who were around, and that they were righteous and everyone else was not. And of course, they went by the idea that as long as we keep the letter of the law of Moses, under which they lived, they offered the right sacrifice on the right day of the month and the year, and kept certain feast days as God required of them, and then they could live as they wanted, and because they'd done those things and checked off their list, so to speak, that they were righteous. Well, actually, in their hypocrisy, God would not have anything to do with them, and God will have nothing to do with us if we try to establish our own righteousness, which does not come from God. So the idea that the world has that to be righteous is to be self-righteous and arrogant and haughty is totally dead wrong from the things that God has revealed to you and me. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That's how Jesus confronted people who were built up on their own false pride, the sense of their own self-righteousness. That's how Jesus dealt with them. Now, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they kind of wore their religion outside for the world to see. They would pray long prayers on the street corners, and they were disfigure themselves to make them look like they were fasting and go in a time of prayer and special dedication to God. So the people would come by and they would see them and they would try to admire them because how dedicated they were to God. Well, in fact, Jesus said they have their reward. People go by and compliment them on their dedication to God, when in fact it was not at all true. And so he says they have their reward, but their reward was then and not for eternity. And he does the same today in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing that God doesn't know, nothing God doesn't see in our lives, whether we're faithful to him or whether we choose not to be. I turn over for a moment to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. He says, "For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." Paul is talking about the Israelite people before Christ came. They wanted to establish their own righteousness and not be dedicated to the righteousness which God revealed to them. But verse 4, he says, "For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believes." So we establish our righteousness not because of our goodness, but because of his. Because of what he came to do for you and me. We cannot establish a righteousness on our own terms because we don't have any. It has to be something we receive as a blessing from God based upon our faith and our obedience to him. And so we go over, for example, to Luke chapter 18. And Jesus told there the parable of the Pharisee and the publican who went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood up and said, "Lord, how great it is for you to have me as your servant, and I do all of these great things, and I tithe, and I give to the poor, and I do all of these great things." And that's how he looked at himself. He was self-righteous. And the parable is told for people who wanted to set about to establish their own righteousness rather than the righteousness of God. But the contrast that Jesus gave there was the publican, the tax collector. He knelt down and he beat on his chest and said, "Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner." And Jesus says that man went back to his house justified and not the other, because he gave God the glory and he recognized his own sinful condition. So he became righteous not because of how good he was, but because he was willing to face up to his own sin, to ask for forgiveness, and acknowledge the sovereignty of God, that God's grace was going to forgive. Righteousness also is not sinlessness or total self-denial in this life. Some people have the mistaken idea, if we just deny ourselves of any good thing in this life, that somehow that's going to make us righteous. God does not expect us and does not command us to live above what we are able to do. But neither will he accept that we live in a way that does not live up to his standard as he understands for you and me. And God understands you and me much more than we do for ourselves. If we could be sinless, there would have been no reason for Christ to come and die on the cross. But we can't be. We cannot achieve sinlessness in our life. Only Jesus was the one that ever could do that. But God made us. He understands us. He knows our thought process. He knows our weaknesses and all of those things. But he is still, even with that, he wants to forgive us. He wants us to be faithful to him. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, we are not righteous of ourselves. We could never be, because we cannot establish a righteousness that comes from us. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." None of us can live up to perfection. None of us can live up to the level which Jesus Christ set for us as our example. He knows that we're going to sin, and God has provided a way that we can be forgiven because of Christ on the cross. And 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, he says, "You were redeemed, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood as of a lamb without spot, without blemish, even the blood of Christ." You know, we could not offer gold or silver or anything else for our redemption, for our forgiveness. Only the blood of Christ could pay that price. And that's how we receive righteousness, when we believe and obey the things that our Lord has commanded. And He is willing to, and He wants to forgive us. Righteousness is not a total self-denial of life. Of course, there are things always in our life that we look around, those things we need to be careful about. And sometimes we have to be willing to deny ourselves of certain things in life. But God never commanded us to give up anything that was good for us. Nor did He ever command us to do what was bad for us. God didn't do either one of those things. Those are the choices that we make to do wrong or not to do right sometimes. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So God wants us to have the best life now with the goodness and the good things of life and the pleasures of life that He has given to us. Now, obviously, we have to do it under His authority and by His direction for the best that we can do. And God wants us to have the best life now and, of course, for all of eternity. Well, some have the idea that complete self-denial equals righteousness. Well, such is not the case, because if that were so, we would be able to deny ourselves enough that we would earn salvation. We can't do it. None of us can ever do that because we are sinners. Once we sin, we separate ourselves from God and His righteousness. And we have to have a Savior to shed His blood for you and me in order to come back to Him. For example, in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was in the city of Athens, and he was talking to and addressing the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers of the day. Well, the Epicurean philosopher said, life is to be lived and do everything you want to do, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you're going to die, and that's it. That was the Epicurean philosopher's view of life. Well, Stoics had the other side of that. They believed that anything in life that brought pleasure was somehow evil and wrong. And that one of the philosophies of the Stoics came over later on into certain parts of Christianity that had strayed away from the Word of God. And the idea was that anything that brought pleasure in life was wrong and bad. So you go out and build a monastery somewhere out in the desert. You live there and deny yourself all the pleasures of life and you'll be righteous. Well, that's a totally wrong idea. God is not the author of that. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. He says, "The Spirit says expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron." It's like the hot iron that we burn ourselves with and it kills the nerve endings there. We can't feel anything. So that's the way our conscience becomes if we turn away from God. Verse 3. Here are some of the things they would do. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them but believe and know the truth. God wants us to have those things. He wants us to enjoy life to the best of our ability. Again, within the parameters of the things that God has set down for us. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. So God says there are people come later on, or Paul said there, saying that they would turn away from God. They deny that the good things of the law of life that God has given to us. But he says they are to be accepted with thanksgiving and prayer and the word of God. In other words, according to God's will. That's how we're to enjoy the life that he has given to us. So self-denial is not righteousness. They may be related in certain areas, but that's not the way to righteousness, because that's self-righteousness. But what is righteousness then? It is God's approval of us based upon our response to his love and his mercy and his grace. Jesus set the example of all. He set the greatest example that could be set of God's love and mercy and grace. And he went to the Jordan River, for example, in Matthew chapter 3, at the beginning of his personal ministry. He went there to the Jordan River. John the Baptist was baptizing people, the baptism of repentance, looking forward to the coming of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus says there to John, "I want you to baptize me." John argued with him. Says, "No, you need to baptize me. I'm recognizing that you are greater than me." Well, Matthew 3, verse 15, Jesus said, "Suffer or allow it now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus is the only one that could be baptized for that purpose, because he was righteous. He was in and of himself righteous because he was totally sinless. Jesus still had to be obedient to the will of his Father to set the perfect example for you and me. Now notice some passages concerning the righteousness there. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, and the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, it says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There has to be a desire, a hunger, a thirst for the righteousness of God, which means we'll believe Him and we will obey Him. Matthew 5, verse 10 says, "Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we do the will of God, and we may be persecuted for it, but He says, if you do that and you remain faithful, you're going to be blessed now and for all of eternity. And in fact, in Revelation chapter 6 and the opening of the seven seals, the fourth one, Revelation 6 and verse 9, it says, John, in his vision, he saw what he called the souls of those who had been put to death for the cause of Christ. And he said, "How long, O Lord, are you going to allow this to continue?" And God told him, "Be patient. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of this situation." And so they had to be willing to even be persecuted and even be put to death for the sake of Christ and for righteousness. And God will take care of them then and for all of eternity. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So make that the priority in life, to serve God. I turn over now to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verses 34 and 35. The Apostle Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius there to teach him, the Gentile, that the gospel was for him. Well, Peter had to have a special vision to convince him that the Gentiles as well as the Jews were acceptable to God under the gospel. Well, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter had seen the vision, he came to the house of Cornelius, and in verse 34, he says, "And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him." Notice one that fears God and works righteousness. In other words, that does what God requires of him is acceptable to him. There's no group of people in the world that is not under the command and under the authority of Christ, and that he will not forgive if they believe and obey the gospel of Christ. Righteousness is our being acquitted of the guilt of the sin that we have committed ourselves. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it he being dead yet speaks." Notice God accepted and called Abel righteous because Abel did what God commanded. He offered the sacrifice which God required of him. And so we look at that idea and realize that righteousness does not come from us. It comes from God. Turn over now to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves. In other words, not establishment of our own righteousness, because we couldn't do that. Not in works done by unrighteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to eternal life. So we are justified by his grace when we believe and we obey the things that God says, and we receive righteousness as a gift to us. It's by submission to the will of God. Well, if you go back to Romans chapter 6, it says when we become obedient to the form of doctrine, that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then we receive his blessing. We receive the gift of his righteousness. We, before, according to Romans 6, were servants of sin. But we give that up when we believe and obey Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to sin anymore, because we all will. But he's going to forgive when we do so. Righteousness is God's accounting of us. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, notice again, it is not our assessment of ourselves or others, but it's God's assessment. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. It says in Romans 4 and verse 3, "For what says the Scriptures? That Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Even as David also pronounced a blessing upon the man unto whom God reckons righteousness apart from work, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are recovered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin." Well, that's where righteousness comes from, because we believe and obey God to the best of our ability, as limited as that is. Abraham was a man who sinned against God. He was not a perfect man by any means. And yet, the Bible says God reckoned his faith and his obedience for righteousness. If we go over to James chapter 2, James says the same thing. In fact, he quotes the idea that Abraham's faith was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, some have tried to place what Paul wrote and what James wrote over against each other, because Paul says it was by faith, and James said it was by works. Well, the fact is they were talking about two different parts of the same thing. The emphasis of James is on the fact that he obeyed what God commanded, and it was reckoned because of his faith, because of his obedience. Well, Paul goes to the underlying cause of that is the faith, which causes one to believe and to obey what God says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God the Father made his Son Christ sin on our behalf. He took our place. He went to the cross for you and me. And when he did that, he took away our sin and the sin of all the world if we believe and obey him. So we look at that and realize we aren't righteous because of ourselves. We're righteous because of him. Now go back now to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24. Paul in Romans chapter 7 is talking about his own battle in his own mind and heart to serve God or not. And you think, well, he was the great apostle Paul. He didn't have any battle like that. He says, oh yes, I did. All of my life. Romans 7:24. He comes to the conclusion after saying, well, I do things I shouldn't, and I don't do things I should. Verse 24, he says, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death?" In other words, who's going to deliver me from this dilemma of doing wrong or not doing right? Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So I still sin. I still fall short. But verse chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Paul says, there's the answer. It isn't my righteousness, but it's God's by faith and obedience to him that he gives us that. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 8 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's the grace of God giving to us what we don't deserve. That's God giving a righteousness to us that we did not earn. We could never earn. We can never deserve it. But through Christ, we can be forgiven. And so we don't have to be self-righteous. We don't have to be hypocritical. We don't have to be the way the world is. We simply believe and obey the things the Lord has commanded. And when you do so, we receive the blessing of righteousness now and for all of our life and for eternity. But we have to make the decision. Abraham, the Bible says, he believed God. It was reckoned to him for righteousness. We do the same. We believe him. We obey him. We follow him. The grace of God, the love of God, and mercy of God will forgive us and give us the promise of eternal life. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Jesus gave his life and shed his blood that we could be forgiven. He paid the price for what we could not do. This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as together we stand as we sing.